You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And we've got some breaking news. We got to hear from Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, and Woody Johnson at the owners' meetings. So plenty of interesting information coming from them. A couple of other news and notes as well involving the Jets and the rest of the NFL. To talk about it, my good buddy, who is the editor over at JetNation.com, Mr. Glenn Naughton. Glenn, what's up, brother?
Busy day in Jets land. You know, it's not every day we get to hear from these guys. So a lot of canned answers that you would expect, but a couple of tidbits that I thought were worth discussing.
In fact, Saleh hasn't spoken since the season ended, really. He had that end of season presser and that was it. So this is the first opportunity to hear from him since January. He had quite a bit to say too. Started out talking about Mike Williams, the Jets' newest acquisition at wide receiver, said that he'll be on a similar timeline to what we saw from Breece Hall last year. Breece Hall, of course, at the end of training camp, started to practice a little bit, but for the most part, didn't participate, didn't play in the preseason, and he was ready to go week one. So the Jets are hoping something similar for Mike Williams. Saleh said, as far as acquiring injury-prone free agents, they're trying to find a way to keep them on the field. Injuries, of course, are part of the game, so they will have to plan for that. Saleh expects Aaron Rodgers to be available for spring practices. On the speculation about Aaron Rodgers running with RFK Jr. as VP, he didn't really seem to care, said he viewed it differently than he views Aaron Rodgers in the world of football. That's a good way to answer it. Honestly, if you're Robert Saleh, all that you're worried about right now is exactly what he said the question before about Aaron Rodgers being ready for the spring practices. Everything other than that really is inconsequential for him. Saleh said that it doesn't matter if you win off seasons. It only matters if you win football games, obviously, because the Jets won the offseason last year. And we all saw how that ended up. Tyrod Taylor has, quote, elite locker room presence. Sure. Okay. Listen, I'm just glad that he's a guy that can step in and not embarrass himself if Aaron Rodgers has to miss a couple of games. That's really what I'm looking for. But elite locker room presence, that's good too. Robert Saleh on not re-signing Bryce Huff. The team is always disappointed when they lose good players, but the team is very happy for him. Saleh said when it comes to the expectations of Aaron Rodgers' ability to play at 41 years old, coming off an Achilles tear. He said it was reasonable to expect Rodgers to perform at the level he had been performing at pre-injury. Elijah Vera Tucker should be ready to go for week one, according to Robert Saleh. Saleh won't comment on the status of Zach Wilson, said that's a Joe Douglas question. And of course, Joe Douglas would not be the only one asked about Zach Wilson. We'll get to that a little bit later. Robert Saleh said the team is still talking to Corey Davis. Quote, our door is always going to be open for him. We'll see what ends up happening there. He'd obviously be a welcome addition, but of course, at this point, you'd have to figure out what the salary would be, because there's no way the Jets are going to pay him the $11 million that they were going to pay him last year. Saleh says he appreciates Mecole Hardman, but won't comment on whether he thinks Hardman shared game plans with another team. Obviously, he's not at liberty to discuss anything like that right now, especially if the NFL is investigating. To prevent injuries, Robert Saleh said, especially on the offensive line, there will be changes in terms of the team's practice and training regimen. He won't share specifics, but they did study the injury rate and ways to try and solve it. Saleh on whether Bryce Huff is the toughest free agent loss they've had under him. Quote, for sure, but you, quote, can't keep them all. So I'm sure Robert Saleh would have loved to have kept the guy that he and his coaching staff helped become one of the better pass rushers in the league. But as he said, can't keep everybody. The money has to go to other weaknesses on the team. They drafted Will McDonald. They drafted Jermaine Johnson. He understands that this is the downside of developing a player that ends up getting so good that he needs a big contract that you can't afford to pay him. Saleh also said he doesn't anticipate any further staff changes. Todd Downing will be the quarterback coach in addition to passing game coordinator. And obviously, Nathaniel Hackett will stick around as the offensive coordinator. So, first chance to hear from Robert Saleh since January, and he had quite a bit of information to talk about.
He did. He did. Some of it, you know, was sort of canned answers, but there were a couple of notes he made during the interview that were kind of interesting to me. I mean, of course, the Aaron Rodgers piece, because that's what everyone wants to hear. You're not expecting any setbacks, but to hear him say he's expecting him to be ready for the spring, that's obviously a big deal. But the two things that jumped out at me, Scott, that were most noticeable. One was that when he was asked if he believed that missing the playoffs would be considered a failure this season, Saleh's answer was that he would never consider missing the playoffs to be a failure, which kind of blew me away a little bit, because I think universally Jets fans agree that would be the case this year. You know, again, if everyone stays healthy or if the key players stay healthy, you've got to make the playoffs. To say that they could miss the playoffs and still not consider it a fail was kind of eye opening. And then he followed it up with kind of, you know, we're going to play hard. We're going to work, you know, put the work in. And listen, everyone's putting the work in. Everyone's trying hard. At some point, you've got to get the results. I have no problem with giving them a mulligan for what happened last year with 11 O-line combinations and losing Aaron Rodgers. But to go into the year with the mindset that if we don't make the playoffs, it's not a fail. Not only surprised he thinks that, but surprised he would say that out loud. I thought that was not a great look for him. The other comment he made that I found interesting, you mentioned him discussing Bryce Huff. He also said, he was asked, why didn't the team extend him when they had the opportunity, right? You had exclusive access to him for a full year before teams could enter the picture and beat out your offer. And Saleh, you know, the first part of the answer, I forget what it was. It was kind of, you know, generic, nothing really that stood out. But then he said, sometimes players bet on themselves and they win. And something to that effect, which made me think, did the Jets try to get a deal done? And did Bryce Huff and his people say, look, you had a chance last year to extend us. Now that Bryce is having a nice year, we're going to have Bryce bet on himself and see if he can come out and get a bigger deal than what you're offering. So for all the talk about why didn't the Jets sign him, if Saleh's quote is accurate, it appears maybe there was some talk, but Bryce decided to bet on himself, and he did win. That was a big win for him. As far as the Aaron Rodgers BP thing, I think it's just a matter of Saleh wasn't positive. He gave like a very non-answer. I think, you know, we'll see that thread as we go through this, and you listen to what Douglas said and what Woody said. Like, nobody wanted to say there was no way it was going to happen. Nobody wanted to say they thought it was going to happen. Everyone just wanted to be neutral and non-committal, I think, to probably not offend whatever Aaron Rodgers was thinking at that time.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Glenn, it's funny you brought up what Robert Saleh said about betting on yourself, because Joe Douglas said something similar when asked about Bryce Huff. He talked about how the Jets were able to work with Quinnen Williams and get a deal done with him before his walk year, but didn't elaborate beyond that. It made you think that perhaps he was hinting at the fact that the Jets maybe tried to get something done with Bryce Huff. But as you said, his agent said, nope, we're going to bet on him continuing to improve, continuing to be a beast as a pass rusher and go out there and get big money in free agency. And if that was the plan, congratulations, the plan worked. Other things Douglas had to say. He was asked about Zach Wilson and if there had been any trade offers. Said, I'd say there were conversations, but nothing close to getting done. Wouldn't answer any questions about whether or not there's a scenario where Zach Wilson could stay. But of course, there's a third person who spoke, and he was asked about that and did talk about a scenario where maybe Zach Wilson could stay. We'll get to that later. Didn't rule out a quarterback at number 10, but also didn't rule out any other positions. They're not taking a quarterback at number 10. We all know that. Said the visit with Jadeveon Clowney last week was, quote, outstanding, but no news for now. Mike Williams won't be ready for the start of camp, but as Robert Saleh said, they are hoping to have him ready for the start of the regular season. Says he likes the look of the new offensive line. Quote, I think a primary objective of the offseason was fortifying the offensive line. I think that was goal one, and you feel good about what we were able to accomplish there. Yeah, no question about it. I didn't think the Jets were going to be able to come out of the first week of free agency with five functional starters on paper on the offensive line, but they found a way to do it. Now, obviously, we can talk about the injury concerns with Tyron Smith, with Elijah Vera Tucker, and to a lesser extent with Morgan Moses, who just had surgery. We could talk about John Simpson and his penalties and him being only an average-ish starting guard, but they got five guys as of now who on paper should be able to start week one of the regular season, and I don't think most of us believed that would be the case. Elaborating further on what the Jets could do with the 10th pick, I think this is an unbelievable offensive line class. It's an unbelievable class at quite a few positions. But I think where we're at now, we have great flexibility to go in any direction that we see is best for us moving forward. So I think it opens the door to a lot of possibilities at number 10. What Joe Douglas is telling you there, I think, is that they're going to look at their board, see if there's a player that stands head and shoulders above somebody else. So, for example, we've talked about whether or not you go for a player who's a playmaker offensively that can help the team right away, immediately, day one, as opposed to an offensive lineman who you wouldn't expect to start day one because of the acquisitions that they made this offseason. However, if they have an offensive lineman rated way higher than one of the playmakers, then this opens up the possibility of them going in that direction. And also vice versa. You would have said that the Jets could have been forced into an offensive lineman if they hadn't made some moves in free agency. Now they don't have to grab an offensive lineman just because they need one. If they take one, it'll be because they think he's cut and dry better than everybody. Douglas elaborating on Zach Wilson. I think the trick is to have it be beneficial for the team and the player. And I think that's what everybody's working towards. But ultimately, we're going to have to do what's right for the team. So they're going to try and do right by Zach Wilson. But if they can get some sort of deal that will help them, that's going to be above what would help Zach Wilson. Douglas was much like Robert Saleh, didn't have anything all that interesting to say about the speculation with Aaron Rodgers and RFK Jr. Quote, I hope he feels like he has some candidates for Director of Homeland Security and Secretary of Defense now that we've fortified the O-line. But no, I mean, when all that was getting out there, I was focused on nothing but improving the team, didn't take it very seriously, was not on the Jets bingo card. So that's what we heard from Joe Douglas at the presser. One more person left to speak, but I thought Joe Douglas usually says more than Robert Saleh. That was the case again today. Didn't give you anything that's going to generate massive headlines. He wasn't overly committed to anything, but certainly gave us enough to chew on for the time being.
Yeah, I think the, you know, Douglas saying that revamping the O-line was a top priority, getting that done, obviously, as you mentioned, picking up three starters in the space of a few days and giving the Jets maximum flexibility in the draft is obviously a huge point, something we've talked about, you and I, something we've talked about on our show on a Jet Nation. And Douglas, it had to get done. He got it done. Now having that flexibility, as you said, quarterback isn't happening. I'm still seeing people suggest it. I don't know. I'm not going to go into it. I just can't get my head around people who are on board with this team drafting a backup at any position while not having another pick until 72. Like, your first pick is going to be a guy who doesn't play, and then you're going to have to wait, you know, another 60 plus slots before you get another player. So yeah, no, Joe Douglas isn't going to rule anything out. It's a weird thing, right? Because he doesn't want to tip his hand and maybe, you know, get teams thinking. But I don't think there's any team out there stupid enough to think we better jump the Jets because they might take the quarterback we want. That's just not going to happen. Non-committal on Zach, of course. He did say that, you know, there have been some preliminary talks, but nothing really, nothing close to happening with Wilson. And you know, of course, you can follow that up, Scott, with how owner Woody Johnson expanded on that.
Woody Johnson did indeed expand on that. There was a report earlier in the day from Pro Football Talk that the Jets had actually gotten offers for Zach Wilson, but that owner Woody Johnson wouldn't allow a trade unless the Jets got something of substance back. That didn't seem to jive with what Woody Johnson had said at NFL Honors a month ago, and certainly didn't seem to jive with what Rich Simini had reported the day before, which is that the Jets had not gotten any offers for Zach Wilson. It also doesn't jive with common sense because, Glenn, we know Mac Jones went for a sixth-round pick. We know that Justin Fields went for a sixth-round pick that maybe, under the best of circumstances, could become a fourth-round pick. We also know that both of those quarterbacks, A, showed more than Zach Wilson, and B, make significantly less money than Zach Wilson in 2024. So it stands to reason that no team would want to trade assets for a quarterback making $5.5 million that at best is competing for a backup spot. That's the kind of money reserved for a backup quarterback like Tyrod Taylor, who has proven that he can do the job at a competent level. So it stood to reason that that report from Pro Football Talk made no sense. I suspect personally that this was Zach Wilson's agent leaking to PFT to try and hurry a move by the Jets, whether that's some sort of dump off trade or the Jets just outright releasing Wilson. Woody Johnson was asked about this. He said Zach Wilson needs a change of scenery, but that he's an asset and the team will keep him if they can't trade him. Denied the report from Pro Football Talk that he had said that they can't trade Zach Wilson unless they get a quality return for him. I think what happened here, Glenn, it's pretty obvious. Woody Johnson at NFL Honors got caught up in the moment. He was agitated. He was fired up. He said some things about Zach Wilson that he shouldn't have said because they were actively trying to trade him. He was probably pulled aside not long after that and informed of the fact that what he had said was actually going to backfire on the team in terms of their efforts to trade Zach Wilson. So this was him trying his best to reverse the damage that he had done in NFL Honors. Similar story when it comes to expectations. Remember, he more or less said there was a playoff mandate when he talked at NFL Honors, backtracked from that, said there's no specific expectation for 2024. And as far as the Rodgers VP talk, he also had nothing to say. Quote, "We're only concentrated on football, football, and football."
Yeah, there was definitely some backtracking there from Woody. I guess maybe he got coached up after the comments he made at NFL Honors. But the Zach Wilson, the interesting thing about the Zach Wilson comments, and I actually, once Salah wrapped his presser, I did a reaction show for our channel, and one of the points I brought up was that, and this is coming, you know, I've become a big listener of the With the First Pick podcast. It's a draft podcast. Rick Spielman, you know, former Vikings GM, does that show with Ryan Wilson. And a few weeks ago, they were talking about the Justin Fields situation, which is, you know, similar to the Jets, taken in the first round, taken in the same year, both struggled, both looking to get traded. And Spielman, as a former GM, said, look, if I'm the Vikings at this point, or sorry, if I'm the Bears at this point, before there was a deal, saying, I consider, even though we're going to move Justin Fields and we're going to draft Caleb Williams, I consider bringing Justin Fields to camp. And if he plays well enough, then maybe you get something for him then. You know, now, of course, Justin Fields higher in the food chain than Zach Wilson at this point. But even if you look at it, that if another team loses their starting QB and they elevate their backup in camp, is Zach Wilson a better option for that team's backup role? And that, of course, could be dependent on how does Zach Wilson look. Do you let him play in a preseason game or two? and see how well he plays, you know, especially if you start him, because who knows how much they're going to play Aaron Rodgers if they play him at all in the preseason. But basically, I was asking, like, is there a route to Zach Wilson not being let go? Because if you have to pay him anyway, and you feel like you might be able to get more if you hang on to him to the early, you know, early part of the season, could that happen? Lo and behold, an hour later, Woody Johnson comes out and says, if we can't trade him, we're not cutting him. Now, whether or not that rings true and we find out, and that's the case, we'll have to wait and see. But I do think there is a way to Zach not spending next season with the Jets, but coming back for the early part of the year. And I do think Woody regretted, you know, the comments he made previously. And all three, you know, Woody and Joe, none of them really got into the Mecole Hardman thing. I don't know that, you know, that is the type of issue that you would probably keep buckled down in-house.
Other quick notes, Glenn. Today, the Jets were at the pro day of Malachi Corley, the Yak God, the wide receiver from Western Kentucky. Would love to see him in a Jets uniform. Perfect fit for the offense. I just don't know that they're going to be able to get him at number 72. They probably have to trade up into the second round or trade down in the first, get a second round pick as part of the deal and get him that way. Tom Pelissero says that there are teams in the know that expect J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback from Michigan, to go number 2 overall to Washington. We also heard McCarthy's college coach, Jim Harbaugh, waxing poetic about him today and talking about how privately other coaches have been gushing to him about McCarthy. I'm not buying this, Glenn. This has smokescreen written all over it. Remember, we heard all about how the Colts loved Will Levis last year to the point where a couple days before the draft, the odds went crazy in terms of him potentially getting drafted by the Colts. He wound up going in the second round. We heard all about how the 49ers supposedly love Mac Jones and might pick him at number 3. He ended up going number 15. I just don't see all this McCarthy hype. I think it's a smokescreen. I think he probably ends up going somewhere between 11 and 15 instead, but I guess we'll see. John Mara, owner of the Giants, says he wishes his coach Brian Daboll would tone it down in public sometimes. I'm sure he's not the only one. Says the team is open to the possibility of adding a quarterback, which is not a surprise to anybody. And said that, quote, the Jets and Giants are not there yet when it comes to adding grass at MetLife Field. Going to be very disappointing for a lot of fans and players who have been screaming for that. And last but not least, the quote unquote hip drop tackle has been banned by the competition committee. Another example of trying to make an unsafe game as safe as possible, but maybe bending over a little bit too far to try and make it happen.
Yeah, love the idea of Corley. We have a draft profile on him on our draft page. A guy, as you said, perfect fit for this offense, but the Jets aren't going to get him in round 3. You're not taking him in round 1 unless you trade down to the bottom of the round, and even that might be a stretch for a team like the Jets. So if you can get him in the second round, absolutely pounce on it. I think Daboll is a guy who he is a very emotional guy, very reactionary. I can see why ownership would want him to tone it down a little. You know, the stuff we were hearing about Wink Martindale not being able to get his play calls in because Daboll's on the headset screaming at him about a previous series, like that's not good coaching. Like you've got to keep your bearing and you know, time and place for stuff like that. Hip drop tackle thing I think is an absolute disaster. Listen, I see people say, but it's a leading cause of injuries. And I say to that, I say there is always going to be a leading cause of injuries, and you can't get rid of every single rule that's the leading cause of injuries, because eventually you then do away with every single thing that's legal, because you keep doing this and you get to the point where strained hamstrings from running is the leading cause of injuries. And now what are we going to do? Not run anymore? Like it's a physical game. That's why fans love it. I don't want guys getting concussions. I don't want horse collar tackles, but I've seen a billion tackles like that in my lifetime. And a few injuries from it, that you got to draw the line somewhere. And they're really hurting the game by doing this.
Glenn Naughton, editor, Jet Nation. Thanks so much for coming on and talking about the breaking news involving the Jets with me. Really appreciate it. Make sure you follow Glenn on Twitter at JNRadio_Glenn. Also, make sure you check out everything he's doing at JetNation.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.